Unbroken, a living faith, is our theme this Lent. And it invites us to consider both what it is that we pass on to the next generation, whether we think of that generation as our blood relation, whether we think of the next generation as new folks that we may encounter, what is it that we pass on in our faith, and how is it that we do that? It is Luther's small catechism that for us as followers of Jesus in the Lutheran way gives us that basic pattern, the what of the Ten Commandments and the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the sacraments. But it also implies at the very least the how. If you remember from Sunday, Luther originally had in his catechism under each heading, under each section, the commandments, the creed, and so on, in the plain form that the head of the household should teach. So what it is, these items of the faith, and how it is that we pass it on in our daily practice and our daily lives. Church Anew, this organization that has created the materials and the theme, is working on a different kind of catechism, the living catechism that sort of circles back to the catechism and invites us to consider deeply that what of our faith. God speaks to us through Scripture and Spirit, is the first of our points this Lent. God speaks to us through Scripture and Spirit. So asserts our theme for this afternoon as one of the ways that our unbroken line of faith and practice is passed on to others. According to this assertion, one of those ways is through both speaking and hearing. Remember, one of the ways that we use shorthand or insider language for tiptoeing around this is by calling the Bible the Word of God. Words work. They transmit data, thoughts, feelings, and more when they are spoken, when they're read, and when they're heard. And that's probably pretty self-evident, even if we don't or haven't thought about such things. Martin Luther once quipped that the church is not first a pen house. That is, what happens in the church isn't primarily about a written word. Rather, Luther continued, the church is a mouth house. Therefore, our ears, he continued, our ears should be glued to the mouth of Christ. For it is our ears that are the primary organs of faith. And an observation that the Apostle Paul made some 1,500 years prior to Luther, when Paul wrote to the fledgling church in Rome, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the work, through the word of Christ. Or as Jesus put it at the conclusion of his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise one who built his house on the rock. Beloved in Christ, this only begins to dip our toes into the water at the heart of this afternoon's theme that God speaks to us through Scripture and Spirit. Whatever it is that's meant by that statement, whatever we think is meant by that statement, it has something to do with not just hearing, but listening. And there is a difference. Everyone that's here this afternoon, even those of you who are tuning in some cases hundreds, maybe thousands of miles away, can hear the sound of my voice. And that sound began as a flow of air rushing out of my lungs across variably lengthening and shortening vocal cords, with those tones being shaped into culturally recognized words by tooth and tongue and lips. But that's only the first part of the magic of sound. Next, as that sound shaped into words exit my lips, you can't see it, but disturbances are created, pressure fluctuations transmitted through air molecules that are passing that energy one from another in a million different directions. Picture ping pong balls bouncing all over the room. And then those pressure fluctuations and their energy strike our eardrums, and we hear sound. But that is only hearing. The detection of that sound and energy, and still only ankle deep in unpacking that God speaks to us through Scripture and the Spirit. Our eardrums, provoked by those transmitted pressure fluctuations and energy, vibrate teeny tiny bones with which God has created us in our middle ear. It amplifies those vibrations to the fluid-filled cochlea in the inner ear, and it stimulates teeny tiny hair cells connected to our auditory nerve that turns that stimulation into electrical energy that our brains then arrange and we hear. But to dive toe ahead into this assertion that God speaks to us through Scripture is for us to realize, to think about, to ponder, to consider what these sounds mean. That is where the magic happens. That's when the Holy Spirit is at work to take all of these sounds and vibrations and electrical charges and transform them into the very presence of God, living in our hearts and our minds, at times speaking in keys of conviction and guilt, and at other times speaking in tones of promise and hope and peace and grace. And in the midst of all of this are these human messengers who become no less than the very mouthpiece of God. See? Or should I say, listen? The Word of God isn't just the Bible and its ancient written words, thousands of years old, first written and spoken by those who spoke Hebrew or Greek. It's the preaching, it's the teaching, it's the singing that opens our hearts to receive, to listen to interpret, to apprehend what our ears have heard and our brains have received. And we understand that word, not only to be something biological, ear bones and cochlea and things like that, or transmitted, millions of ping pong balls bouncing in the air, nor is it only something abstract, invisible, or interpretive. As John's gospel declares, the Word became flesh and lived among us. That is the entire culmination. The entire essence of the Bible and its proclamation is Jesus Christ himself. What it is that brings Christ and his goods to our hearts, our minds, our very lives. Beloved in Christ, it's that we should be listening for. So when Isaiah declares in the 55th chapter of God's Word that God's Word doesn't return empty and unfulfilled, but rather it accomplishes and succeeds in the purpose and the thing for which God sent it, it isn't some task to be done, some box to be checked, some feat to be performed. It is Christ himself, born in the mangers of our hearts, that God is speaking. When John declares that anyone who listens and that the Spirit is part of that transaction, God will permit to eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. It is Jesus himself who is that tree that feeds us with the fruit of the Spirit, creating within us at times, in spite of ourselves, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we gather for prayer, reflection, and conversation in the chapel, these are the questions we have in the forefront of our attention as we read, questions you might file away for your own reading and for your own listening. Where do you hear good news in this reading from the Bible, or from the proclaimed word in sermon, or in the text of a hymn? What do you hear that brings peace or joy or hope or more? What doesn't sound like such great news? What sounds challenging, provocative, even convicting? Pressure fluctuations and sound waves, eardrums and electrical charges, spoken, sung, preached, and read. God speaks to us through scriptures and the Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.